when reason can't grasp a thing, because that thing is beyond it. We must subject ourselves to that thing to learn if we want to grow, is how we're wired, is my point. I think this is what the prophets mean in our terminology by everlasting life, to be downed for this very challenging thing called growth continuous. It's so odd to be shown this now, this feeling of being utterly lost, confused, a feeling that must mimic, in a sense, what the infant feels in a class system with an abusive parent. But that when that infant submits to the false authority of the state as parent, it's been utterly betrayed. But to submit to the infinite is different. Who shows me this but Prince? It's very frustrating not to understand, but when we hearken, we get encouragement. Quoting Paul, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." God as spiritually active in the world. I'm not a woman. I'm not a man. I'm something you'll never understand. I'm not your lover. I'm not your friend. I'm something you'll never comprehend. I'm your Messiah, and you're the reason why. Make you happy when you're sad. I'm not a human. I'm a dove. I'm your conscience. I am love. All I really need is to know that you believe. And that's quoting Prince from I Would Die For You, from the 1984 album Purple Rain. Trinity in unity. God spiritually active in the world. This is about all of us being together as one. And my ego keeps getting in the way of my growth, it seems. I'm finding it so hard to be Paul, achieve that quality called righteousness. It's not that I don't know that souls exist separate from their material existence. As Nikola told us, quote, "In my boyhood, I suffered from a peculiar affliction due to the appearance of images often accompanied by strong flashes of light, which marred the sight of real objects and interfered with my thoughts and action. They were pictures of things and scenes which I had really seen, never of those imagined. Sometimes I was quite unable to distinguish whether what I saw was tangible or not. I soon discovered that my best comfort was attained if I simply went on in my vision further and further, getting new impressions all the time. And so I began to travel. When alone, I would start on my journeys, see new places, cities, and countries, live there, meet people and make friendships and acquaintances, and however unbelievable, it is a fact that they were just as dear to me as those in actual life, and not a bit less intense in their manifestations. This I did constantly until I was about 17, when my thoughts turned seriously to invention. Then I observed, to my delight, that I could visualize with the greatest facility. I needed no models, drawings, or experiments. I could picture them all as real in my mind. Thus I've been led unconsciously to evolve what I consider a new method of materializing inventive concepts and ideas, which is radially opposite to the purely experimental and is, in my opinion, ever so much more expeditious and efficient." Unquote, from his autobiography. You can find that in the book, Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work, which you can download free from the Nascence to End Work website. That's in the chapter, The Two Winds. And while Nikola's soul could explore the world independently of his body, Prince goes beyond this. "A few months before the power guys killed him, and 2 weeks after I broke my wrist, they used an EMF weapon on me that at that time I'd no experience with." Quote from our January 31st, 2016 show, Power's Answer to Us. "Now that I'm experiencing the effects of this latest wave weapon, which generates such thick mucus that it almost seems to solidify in your head and chest and steals your breath, particularly in the first few days of it, when the dense mucus it produces was most prodigious. In the first stage of its effects, I experienced a moment of such powerful lethargy that even though I know they have wave weapons that induce sleep, I got pulled under, and that mucus started building up in my head and chest, and all I wanted to do was sleep. But a voice in my head said, "Oh no, you don't." So I didn't. But that was also because I knew the cause was EMF weapons. This is a particularly nasty assault and requires constant attention to get rid of it, which you can't, at least not while they keep hitting you. I imagine it kills early and fast, and particularly those with few means. It's occurred to me that the Auschwitz metaphor is more exact than apt. When disaster strikes of any kind, who survives? Who can afford the drugs and the treatment? So what does it accomplish? Elimination of the quote-unquote unfit and transfers of wealth from those left. Though we know power has always favored such schemes, few will believe this. High-tech Auschwitz is their answer to accelerating income inequality. So keep garlic on hand. Trust what your body says. The voice that said, "Oh no, you don't," I recognize now as that of Prince. I know that tone, that edge of amusement, the smile in it. But I didn't then. Prince's soul can merge with other things. I now know this, for I feel his presence in me definitively. So it's not that I don't know that souls exist independently of their bodies, but rather I wonder if I'm caught, trapped in the snare of wanting my works to exist in the world. Speech silences. Speech frees us. Speech means listening. Speech is the death of it. Listening means silence. Paul says, "Be quiet." Paul says, "Preach in proportion to the need." Round and round I go, and in each turn, I'm disappearing. I don't understand. And yet, if I weren't utterly clueless, how could I be a tool? I used to possess a measure of satisfaction in owning my true self and seeing the effects of that ownership live in the world. But all that's taken in becoming a tool. What is the reconciliation?